It's a God-given gift to be a daughter of a pastor, and it comes with huge responsibilities. As my mom always says, the whole town is looking at you and how you're serving your life, because your life is the mirror of God, that He's trying to shine His light through you. And I totally agree with that, but you have to find your own kind of way to have a relationship with God and to really want to shine His life in this world.
The Christian is to witness for Christ. Now, how do you witness? You witness by the way you live.
At this moment, God commands all men to repent and believe.
La caída que tuviste hoy será la experiencia que te ayudará a levantar a los miles de caídos.
This is your testimony.
You say you're from... Okay, I always struggle saying that. I don't know. Latvia. No.
Yes. No, you're good. Latvia.
Latvia. Okay. So before we start, I was wondering if you can, you know, start us out in prayer and in your language, if that's fine with you.
Yeah, that's perfect. Okay. Jēzus, kungs, un pastītājs, tev uzkūst par šo iespējumu, par šo laiku, debestāvs, Jēzus, ieliek tavās rokās, debestāvs, šo sarunu, šo laiku, tu vadīsi, debestāvs, kungs, un pastītājs, ieliek tavās rokās, Dēnijas, ieliek tavās rokās, debestāvs, sevi, kungs, un pastītāji, nāc ar savu svēto garu, aizskara mūsu sirdis, un katru ikvienu, kas klausīsies, kungs, un pastītāji, lai tas aizskara un uzrunā katru ikvienu no mums, to visu es lūdzu Dievu tēva dēla un svētā gara vārdā, āmen.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to Testifying. Testifying is a podcast where we want non-believers to know God through testimonies. All right, guys, I am, like, very excited for this one. It is crazy, too, because I was praying to God. I was like, God, I want to interview someone out of Nebraska. And, yeah, he answered that.
Wow.
Like, and he answered that with someone from a different country. All right, go ahead and introduce yourself, please.
Hi everyone, I'm Rebecca Shostakovich. I'm from Latvia, and I'm so excited to be on this podcast and sharing the life and all that you guys are excited to hear here on this podcast.
So, Rebecca, I met Rebecca through Ian and Maddie. They're the youth pastors at the church I'm going to, and she's actually here in Nebraska for her first time visiting. What do you think of Nebraska so far?
It's so amazing. I love this place. I feel so welcome. The people, it's just amazing. The nature, the heat, everything.
You like the corn? I think Nebraska is
corn. Yep, even the corn.
I probably am going to be asking you a lot of different questions just because I'm really curious. I'm really excited for this podcast. But
right.
Can you tell us a little bit about your country? Because I know when Ian first told me about you, I was like, wait, where's that at? Like, that was the first time I ever heard of that country.
Yep. It's a very tiny country. Nobody's usually heard about it. It's in the Northern Europe. We are like the Baltic states, three tiny countries, and Latvia is in the middle of it. It's even tinier than Nebraska State, actually. I looked it up. Nebraska State is bigger than my whole country, which is crazy to think about even that. But yeah, it's a tiny little country with their own language, traditions, and all that good stuff. We are a very independent and trying our best to keep it up, keep up the traditions. As a tiny country in this huge world, it's hard to keep it up. And so most Latvians are very protective of our land and our traditions and ways and how we do life and how we try to survive in this big, huge world. So that's a little bit of my country.
Wow, that's awesome. So I kind of want to ask you, how long have you been serving God, like faithfully?
Yeah, so My dad is a pastor, so I was born Christian, raised Christian, but I got to meet Jesus personally in my personal life when I was 15, in actually a conference. That was a GLOW conference in Italy, and just God took over and spoke to me directly and has never stopped changing my life ever since. And I'm so grateful for that encounter and for every single day it has led up to it. And for my parents that has been sowing the seeds into my life to grow as a Christian and still continue to do so.
Wow. So before that encounter, would you like, still serving him faithfully, or you're just, because I know during, because I also grew up in a church, but yeah, there was a time where, like, at an age where I started, you know, following him faithfully, but then before that there was a time where I kind of, you know, just getting out of the path.
Yep. No, I would say I was trying to help out my parents because we're a big family, we're 7 kids, and at that time we were a lot of tiny little creatures, basically, not knowing what to do in a church and all that. So I will say I had a good heart to try to help out my parents to make them easier to ministry and to do life. But I didn't know what I was actually doing or what was the reason. I was trying to search for something. I was trying to look for love. I was trying to look for appreciation, that spotlight. You know, I wanted to feel important because with having so many siblings, having church and ministry, my parents were so into God and Jesus that sometimes I felt like I was like, oh, I wish you know, my mom would like spend time with me more than rather than God, you know. I was kind of offended in a way of God because he was taking main time of my parents or my siblings. So for me, it was surface level, not trying to go into it, not trying to give the time of the day, just like being there just because my parents expect to, and I try to be a good child, you know.
Yeah. Cause you said your parents were pastors, right? So was it kind of like hard for you to like, you know, have that in, like have that, I guess that the pastor's daughter tighter on you, you know?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, for sure. And it still is to this day. Cause you know, people look up to you. People expect from you to do it right, you know? My parents, they were non-believers. None of their parents, my grandparents, were believers. There might have been like a grandma in our generation, in our family, 3, who was Christian or praying or something like that, but not that we know of. So they had to figure it out themselves and start fresh and learn as they go and try to grow 7 children in a church that was growing so much, and is still to this day. So it came with a lot of obstacles and with a lot of pressure, and it's a God-given gift to be a daughter of a pastor, and it comes with huge responsibilities. As my mom always says, the whole town is looking at you and how you're serving your life, because your life is the mirror of God, mm-hmm. that he's trying to shine his light through you. And I totally agree with that, but you have to find your own kind of way to have a relationship with God and to really want to shine his life in this world. So yeah, it's been hard, but God always helps us to get through.
Yeah, and it just reminds me when Jesus was saying that we got to be like a city on a hill, you know. Yeah. We have to be like the light. And it's also true, you know, because, you know, for many out there, just because you are the, you know, the children of a pastor, at the end, it's at the end, like your parents aren't the ones that are going to save you. It's your relationship with God. And I've known a couple people that, you know, their parents have been pastors, and they got out of the way, but it's because they haven't encountered that relationship with God, their personal relationship. So can you tell us a little bit more of, you know, is Christian at
Christianity.
Yep.
There we go.
You got it. Is that pretty popular in your country, or do people look down upon that, or not really?
So the main religious activity is Catholicism and Lutheranism. I cannot even say that word.
We're on the same page.
Right. All these words, you know. Crazy. But yeah, Christianity is, if your family is Christian, then you are connected in some sort of way. But most grandmas, most grandparents are Catholics or Lutherans. And because of that, there is this religious spirit that is captivating families. And a lot of people will say that they believe in God, but actually when they say in Latvian, they use it as a lesser name. So that would be Dievinč, which means like a small god or small tiny god, you know. They don't know the real powerful God that we serve and who has created heavens and earth and who is still in control to this day. And they don't have this personal relationship. They have not encountered him. So that's why it's very hard to just, you know, say, no, it's not this tiny little god that you think of or your grandma or the thing you read in the stories. It's a real actual God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's bigger than any of us, and there is no one like him. So it's hard to, you know, change the mindset of the people and say, no, here, you've been living this life in the wrong mindset. This is not it.
Oh, wow. And then, so I know you were at the service yesterday at our church. Is that how your guys' services are ran too? Pretty much the same, or are they different?
So overall, yes. But what I loved was to see people in the worship just coming on with the flags and just giving glory to God with, I don't know, flag dancing or something.
Oh, yeah.
This is a big part of our church is giving worship to God by dance. And we have a lot of Messianic Jews who come and lead the worship in our church sometimes. And, you know, the music, the rhythms, like it just makes you want to dance. And our churches just usually the whole group just comes together hand in hand and just start dancing, comes in circles and start. Latvia itself is a very traditional in dancing. So wow. Latvians just know how to start to move when there's music. So our services, are similar, but I would say even more of just expressing love and gratitude through dance and through movement. And actually, our church is very open, and we allow, as well as you guys did, as giving testimonies and just sharing from their personal experience and daily lives of what God is doing and giving glory to God from their daily lives. But we like to do it everything twice as long, if not even longer. Our service starts from 11 till 5.
Till 5?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. We like to take our time. We like to sit at the table, drink tea, eat something good, and just talk. And
so it's a bunch of fellowship too then. So besides worship and the sermon, it's just a bunch of fellowship, huh?
Yep. Wow. That's a big part. Yeah. Yep.
There's
always somebody baked something, cookies, you know. Somebody has brought something in and we're just sitting and just allowing God to do his work through our conversations and just, yeah.
And what about for like the kids that are in your guys' church? Do you guys have like a little study group for them?
Or? Yeah, we have Sunday school for
Sunday
them.
Sunday school.
And the youth in our church is more active in worship. And actually, I would say almost there's a few youth students who are not actively a part for the worship team. But yeah, that's been like such an answered prayer because I'm the worship leader in our church. And we started after COVID, it was just me and my little sister playing piano. And we just gave glory to God. And God's been just pushing with his amazing goodness and wisdom and glory through that. And he has done so many amazing miracles through that worship. And now we are grown. We have, more youth in our worship team. And wow. Even, which has been so surprising for us, Asian culture and Asian people coming into our church and being a part of our tiny little church in our tiny little village in our tiny little country. So like that's been something that we never even dreamed or expected, to have Chinese language translated in our church to for the Asian people to understand. We are still trying to understand how is this happening, but that's God, you know. He comes in and just sweeps away.
That is awesome. I think I was telling you on Sunday, I just love how it says every tongue, every nation. I love that because it's so true, because it's the same God in any language everywhere you go. And so you say you're on the worship, you're the leader of the worship team?
Yes.
So
yes.
do you like to sing?
I love to sing. I mean, it's a way of just going deeper in Christ, and just this is, I think you cannot get more intimate with God when you're worshiping and when you're just going in and just giving all you have and just expressing your life, your love to him. Mm-hmm. I actually started being the worship leader. I'm for 4 years now. So maybe it's a lot, but for me, it doesn't feel like it's a lot. My mom was before me, the worship leader, but I always mm-hmm. was around her and trying to sing and dance and worship God when I was little. So yeah, it's been wonderful.
So what else do you do besides worship team, or like what other responsibilities do you have?
Yeah, in the church, as I said, I do the worship, and now I translate from Latvian to English for the other Asians to understand the sermons and the church. So,
wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I really want to ask you this, but if you don't want to, it's fine. But could you maybe sing something for us?
Oh, this was unexpected.
I know. I think it'll be awesome. But if you don't want to, it's fine.
No, I can. Let me think of a song. Should I do it in Latvian?
Yes.
Okay.
And then if you want to do one in English too, or Spanish too, that's fine.
Spanish. Yeah. I could do Russian, but not Spanish. Okay, it's gonna be just a short one. It's a dance actually song that everybody starts dancing. So I'm expecting you, Danny, to start moving.
Oh God, I am not a good dancer. I'll move my hands.
Okay, that's enough. Okay, here we go. At Kalbuzirdama Sude Silas, Slavas Tismas and Gaviles. At Kalbuzirdama Sude Silas, Slavas Tismas and Gaviles. Israel Abbas and Israel Adali, Skanasisa Silas, Jerusalem. Israel Abbas and Israel Adali, Skanasisa Silas, Jerusalem. Hey!
Wow.
There you go.
Wow, that was amazing. Yeah. Oh my gosh. It reminds me of I don't remember, so, but yeah, that really gets you in a dancing mood, but
right, it does.
It reminds so my dad, I remember, I think I was like 6 years old, but my dad bought a CD from Israel, and they were singing in Spanish, and it kind of reminded me a lot of that. But yeah, that's awesome. That was amazing.
That could be, because it's a very old song, but it's a very good, and it talks about Israel and how it is a part of God and how we need to accept that in our hearts and love them with all our hearts. Yeah.
Okay. I did wanted to ask you, all right, there's two questions I want to ask you. How do you say Jesus in your language?
Jesus.
Jesus?
Jesus.
Jesus. And what about, like, the Bible?
Biblia.
Biblia. Oh, hey, that sounds like Spanish. Yep. Biblia, almost. Hey. That's awesome. So, I do want to get back to your, you said at 15, you had, like, your first encounter with God.
Yes. Oh,
could you describe that day? Like how'd you feel? Like, you know, could you describe that, please?
Yeah. So, the previous year, going towards 15 and going towards that conference, I felt like God was showing himself more and revealing himself to me more and more, but I was not ready to accept it. I was not ready to see it. I was just like, okay, fine, whatever. And, cause we're seven kids and we did, like, my dad does not earn money from the church. He was not working. So we've been living our whole lives faithfully, where somebody just drops potatoes at our doors and that's our dinner for the evening, you know? And for me as a 15-year-old, my mom coming to say to me, you're going to Italy, you're going to fly a plane and going to a conference where there's nations of women together to worship God and give glory to him. To me, that was like the most amazing thing that can ever happen. And already that was like so important for me. And we went there, and the first day the conference started, actually the guy that was talking, Asher, he said, it's time to pray for nations, and let's just open up our hearts, open up our mouths, and just pray for nations. I don't know what happened in that moment, but I just, for the first time in my life, I really cared for nations. I felt like my heart was burning to pray. I opened my mouth, and as soon as I did, this click, this just covering came over me, and I could not stop. This was the moment where God truly just came and was like, this is it. This is your calling. This is your moment where there's no time to waste. It's this. You have to, like, give it up. And just, I started praying. Tongues came out. Prayer just flowed and flowed and flowed, such a fire. I felt electricity come into my body. I was like, I have no idea what's happening, but I know this is God. This is what he's been waiting me to be here and just open up and give everything up and just let him be and come through me. So yeah, that was a crazy experience. Like, even now, like I feel it in my bones and my heart. I was like, yep, that was important and very memorable day in my life.
That's awesome. I don't know if this happens with you, but I know with me, because every time I remember my first encounter with, like, God, and when I start, like, you know, when I remember, I still remember the first time I was baptized with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And, like, when I talk about it, like my heart just gets so happy, you know, like,
yep.
Like, oh, I want to go back, you know, because it's right. Such, like, when you feel God's presence, like, there is nothing else that is better than that. And that's like, I can't even describe it. Like, right. The crazy thing is that we only experience a little bit of his presence. Now imagine if you experience his whole presence. Yeah. You know, our body can't handle that.
No, it cannot. Yeah.
So after that encounter, how was life for you? Like, you know, how was your Christian life after that?
Right. Yep. So ever since that encounter, God has just taken layers and layers off me what I tried to add and think was good. For example, I was in a relationship at 15 that I thought was my whole life. I thought it was my present life. I thought it was my future. I thought it was, this is it. This is the real deal. This is happening. But God was like, no, this is not a part of you and you need to just get away from it. It's not me. I have not created this. This is your own understanding and your own will that have created this. And it was really hard for me to break it off. But God over and over, and I tried to, like, you know, Christians, like, we are so comfortable in our, like, positions. But when God comes and says, like, no, this is not it. You have to get away from it. We take our slow time. We just make it, like, so slow and just try to stretch it out as long as it possible. But it does not help at all. It's God is like, just cut it off. Just done, you know. And that was really hard for me. I had to, like, drag it as slow as I could. But the end, that was, like, my first biggest faith step to just break up the relationship. And ever since then, God has been so faithful and just like, okay, I see you making sacrifices. I see you that is not easy for you. And I will take care of you. I will make sure you're good. I will make sure that you have a breath in your lungs. I will make sure that you have purpose in your life and that you see that I am God of your life. And that's what I've been experiencing. It was amazing. Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, you know, like, that's how I feel, like, you know, with God, obedience is important. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, there's some really, like, there's some, because I feel you on that, because there's some things I had to give up and I struggled too. It was a struggle, you know, like, my flesh doesn't want to give it up, but, you know, but obedience, that's what God wants. And if yes. And God also, like, God also wants us to, you know, humble ourselves before him. That's why in the Bible says, humble yourself before the Lord and he'll raise you up in honor. So yeah. that's really awesome, you know. So was there another time you were going through something like really difficult that was, like, you know, really challenging your faith?
For sure. Many times. But the one that comes to my mind right away is my year before I came to Cyprus. I went to Cyprus to a discipleship school with Maddie and Ian, and that's where we met. And that year was, I used to call it the horrible year of my life, because everything around me was just falling apart. My friendships, my family, church, work, school, whatever, you name it. It was falling apart. It was a disaster. And I did not know where to go, to whom to talk, because that's, like, the biggest lesson that I learned from that year is that how much I've been trying to lean on others and lean on people. Because people in our life are gifts from God. But if you abuse it, it will not be good. And that's what I did in my life. I firstly would go to my friends, and firstly would go to my family, and last to God. And God was like, I will not allow anyone to take my place. I am the God of your life. I am the one who sits on the throne. And that year was, yeah, going south. Everything was just happening crazy, like crazy. And but God really heavily put on my heart this discipleship school. And that was, like, the one thing in my life that was, like, very certain. And whenever I looked at it, whenever I spoke with the people or received an email from the school, God was just like, this is what I want for you. And I was like, okay, I took the faith step of saying, okay, I will take the next 2 years to work, to earn money for this school. And that's what I'm going to focus on. That's it, you know? If this is God, your will, you're going to make it happen. Because at that time, the school, the discipleship school, the tuition was so high that I could not even imagine ever owning that kind of money. Little did I know, God had a different plan. He just wanted me to take this faith step and trust in Him in that time where I felt like everything was falling apart, everything was shaking, everything was just going south. God was like, trust in me in this and take this faith step. And I did that. I took that step. 3 months later, I was sitting in a plane to go to this discipleship school. I was supposed to work for 2 years and only then think of going to that school. But God just took it and was like, here you go, you know.
So how'd you feel being on a plane on your way there?
Oh my God, I was crying, I was emotional, I was just a wreck. And you know, when you're in the sky and it's sunrise and you're sitting in a plane and you know this is a huge thing, this is a God thing and you're going to change your life forever. Wow.
Yeah, I bet
that it's hard to describe.
Yeah, I bet that was an awesome feeling too.
Yeah.
Can you describe a little bit of the discipling school for the people that don't know what it is?
So I was going to it blind, basically, because all I knew it was actually, I thought it was a Bible school. What I could read in the website. And that's the thing with God. You never get like a trailer or caution, you know, you just go in it and experience and see what God does, you know, walk by faith, not by sight. And that's literally what I had to do. I didn't know nobody. I knew this one girl who I spoke twice with. That's it. Wow. But I went there and it was the most amazing, life-changing experience. Surrounded by godly people, surrounded in a place where everything and anything was God and nothing else added to it. Every single day was a huge challenge. I was exhausted. I was exhausted spiritually, mentally, physically, everything. Because, you know, from the morning till the evening, you're just trying to press in. You're just searching your heart, you're searching your mind, your soul, and just giving it all to God and talking about deep stuff and just worshiping. It's amazing. It's a wonderful experience. I would never change that for anything else. But it's exhausting because your body is not used to it, you know, for such a pressure to go through. But again, God did such an amazing time. Although we did stay there for 2 months rather than 6 months. So it should have been 6 month discipleship school.
Is this where you do
COVID?
Oh, sorry. Sorry for interrupting. Yeah. But yeah, this is where you do like training for 3 months and then you do like a mission you do?
So this was combined. Like, for example, the first month we were staying there, we were studying different kind of topics, different kind of teachers came and taught us from the Bible. And then we went to Israel for a mission trip. Mm-hmm. And we were supposed to come back again and study for like 2 months or something and then go back out in the field and do mission trips. But this time they had to send us home from Israel because COVID spread out and we were not able to come back to Cyprus. So, yeah.
How'd you feel about that?
That day was actually, that day I felt it heavily on my heart that something's happening spiritually. I was like calling my friends, is like, let's pray because there's something real happening. I don't know what it is, but we just need to pray. And that's what it did a whole day. We just prayed, worshiped God. We had no idea what's going to happen. And then in the evening, the leaders had to give us the bad news and the hard news that this is it. So from tomorrow, everybody, all the students have to leave Israel and go back to their home countries. I don't think I have cried this much in few hours as I did then, because we were all so close to each other. We were in this holy land. We have had this amazing experience where we've experienced God like never before. God's changed us, renewed us, transformed us throughout this time, and just having it just end in a night was not an easy thing to swallow.
That must have been hard. That was your first time in Israel, right?
Yep, that was my first time.
And could you describe that? I'm praying to God that I can go experience Israel, because I just love, you know, reading the Gospels and just thinking, oh, Jesus was here and all that stuff. And my dad, back in 97, he went to Israel. So, like, he took a lot of pictures, and I just love seeing those pictures of my dad in Israel. But could you describe your experience there?
Yeah, for sure. So, actually, I had no idea I was going to be able to go to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really know much about the school or the people. I thought the second year students are going to go to Israel. And I think the week before we have to leave, I truly understood that I'm going to go to Israel. Because, like, when they were talking, again, Latvian is my first language, then maybe Russian, and then English. So for me, it's like, okay, there's like, this is not for me. But one student said, like, so what are you going to pack for Israel? I'm like, why would I need to pack for Israel if I'm not the second year? It's like, no, we're going. Like, what? I remember calling my mom and basically yelling, Mom, I'm going to Israel. Because none of my family or anyone from our church has been to Israel. Mm-hmm. I was the first one.
That's awesome.
And yeah, looking back to it, it was never my desire to go to Israel. Because, again, as you said, you're reading the Bible, you experience it, you know, build this picture in your mind, or look at the Bible kids' stories, and these are these beautiful pictures and these things. And I knew that it's for sure different, and it's hard. And the warfare and everything, spiritual warfare, there is, like, you know, all these things just added. I was like, okay, that's not my, like, travel bucket list. That's not for sure. But I think there was a special reason why God wanted me to go there. And I'm going to say this, that it's totally not what you think it is. It's so much deeper. It's, yeah, you need to, like, that's what we did. We prayed, we fast before we went there. They warned us about how hard it is, how, yeah, what the spiritual warfare is and how heavy it is. And that's what I felt throughout this time. And it was amazing to see the ministries and help them and just serve them with just plainly helping to pack a food package for families, or working in a house, cleaning it, you know, painting a fence. That was just so amazing, so beautiful. Actually, I sprained my ankle walking alongside the River of Jordan. But it was a God thing. At first, I was so annoyed because I wouldn't be able to do whatever the others are going to do. But we were, like, the next few days, we were cleaning the Sea of Galilee, the beach of the sea. And I couldn't do much. So I had to sit there in the beach on a rock. I have a picture of this. This is a most memorable moment in my life. Under this huge tree, and just sit there and just talk to God in the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus himself was walking, and all the stories in the Bible about the Sea of Galilee. Those are always my favorite stories in the Bible. And I was sat there by force, because I really wanted to go and help. My first instinct would be like, yes, let's do this. This is amazing. But God was like, no, this is the moment where you just need to sit and be in peace and listen to my voice and listen to the voice of the waters, of the waves in the sea, and just receive my blessing. And that was, yeah, that was my most memorable moment from Israel.
Wow, that's amazing. That's really awesome that you were able to experience that. So, yeah. I do want to ask this. So you come back to your country, right? Of Latvia.
Latvia, yes.
Latvia. And then, you know, we start hearing those rumors about Russia and Ukraine. I do want to ask that, how was that for you guys? Were you guys starting to get affected because of that?
I will say this, that personally me, I am 22 years old, and I have, when growing up, there was always this fear ever since I was a young child, of knowing and understanding that there could be war between Latvia and Russia. And when I was 14, it was really like the action at the border with Russia, because we have border with Russia. There was like weird things happening, and everybody was in this fear of war spreading out. And when I was 14, I packed my first bag in case we need to leave the country. And growing up knowing this and living in this fear and seeing people living in this fear and feeling it in the atmosphere, it's not an easy thing to do. But then again, our nation's history is even worse than a fear of war spreading out. So for me, I would say that's why I have such a tough skin, in a way, because I come from a country whose history is so dark that I don't think there could be anything darker than that. And knowing it when I was a little child and walking in all of these places where all these things happened when I was young, I got kind of used to it, but not really. So I was always living with that. Everybody's in our country living with that. But when this war spread out, I think we all realize how real it is. That is not just a story, not just a circumstance. This is actually it. And every single day back at home, because I do every single day meet refugees from Ukraine, seeing their eyes and seeing what they've gone through has shown the reality of this world and how the Bible teaches us and has always taught us that Jesus is coming back. And we need to be ready for it. We need to give our all to Him and make space for Him and not try to strive in this world, not try to do our own will and understanding, but allow God for His will to come and happen. And it shook me up, because I said, for me, it was knowing that this could happen, but now actually seeing the proof, the people as a real people coming in with their eyes full of fear, full of sorrow, full of pain. And then I'm standing there, this 22-year-old girl who is like, I don't know what to give besides Jesus, you know? Mm-hmm. The food, the clothing, the furniture that we give them and help the families in our country is nothing to compare to the love of God, to love of Jesus. And through this, my knowledge of Russian has sparked up, because I learned it in school and I was always like struggling with it. But God, in such a miraculous way, has always just open my mouth out, and all these Russian words and exactly what is needed for that specific person is coming out, bringing healing, bringing resurrection. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's not me. It's not my acts, but it's Jesus who is in mm-hmm. me, who lives in me. So it's hard. It's very hard. I've had to deal with it. With a lot of stress, with a lot of nerves, but then again, God sat me down and He was like, this is not your yoke that you need to carry. Give it to me. and I will lead you through all of this. And ever since that moment, ever since that conversation with him, I've been like, okay, this is heavy, this is hard, I understand, I know it, I see it, I feel it, but God can lead me through it. And that's day by day.
Yeah, amen to that. So with the refugees, like, because I don't know how to say this, but you were able to share the gospel with the refugees, right?
Yeah.
Were like a lot of them like accepting it?
Yeah.
Or were like
yeah.
Oh, sorry. Or like, because I know, or like some of them were like, if God's real, why is, you know, why are we going through this, you know?
No, for sure. I will say people in my country are more open to Christ now than they were before, just because of this war, just because of all the crazy things that are happening in this world. And Ukrainians who I have personally met and served, they know that they need God more than ever, and that God was the one who saved them, who guided them through, and just saved them from this awful place that people are still living to this day. And there are some who are like, yes, I know this was God, but I'm standing far away from him. But I have not yet met anyone who... There are Latvians who I have met and said there is no God because why would there be war? But I have not met any refugee who would say, this isn't God, there is no God, you know. We actually had a mother and a son recently came and stay. We gave them our bedrooms and they stayed in our house. They were traveling through Latvia. The son is quite young, and for him to escape Ukraine, he needed to go through Russia. And before he did so, they informed him, either you stay and you die, or you try to go and somebody's going to shoot you and you're dead on the spot and nobody's going to pick you up and nobody's going to save you. And for a mother and son to do it together, they said they felt like they were going through this tunnel and at any moment somebody can shoot you and you're dead on the spot and there's nothing you can do. There's nobody to save you or help you. And that was like the biggest encouragement for me in testimony, because that mother accepted Jesus Christ as her savior at the end of those 2 days. And she said she has never felt such peace as she did staying those 2 days at her house and being able to rest and being able to just eat and sit and talk and just read, knowing that she will not need to fear for her life or her son's life, that she is finally now out. And she said she believes that God took care of her every step and her son's every step to get here. Actually, they traveled to Germany later on to get there at the finish line where they needed to be. So, yeah. And there are a lot of stories like that.
Wow, that's really touching. And, you know, I'm glad she came to God. And I just find it crazy because here in the United States, like honestly, we don't see that stuff. So we like sometimes like in the church, we get so comfortable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like in different countries, like it's hard, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's really touching. I'm really glad you shared that. I do want to ask, what is your current relationship looking like with God right now?
Yeah, I'm in this season of God just answering my prayers that I have prayed for years and giving me breakthroughs one after another. But I had to learn the hard way of just surrendering him and listening to his voice and his will. Because sometimes at least in my personal experience, when God says something, sometimes my natural reaction is to try to somehow find a way out of it, or, you know, to just avoid it or go around it. For example,
like Jonah.
Yep. So, yep. Big. That's a,
except you don't get swallowed. You don't get swallowed by a fish.
True. Yeah. And it's like, now it's like just receiving the blessings and just truly listening to him and abiding in what he's saying and just reacting to it and not trying to, you know, find my own kind of way to escape it or just go through it in a different kind of way, but just actually listening and abiding in him and just, okay, not my will, not my plan, but yours will be done.
Well, thank you for that. What advice? Because I know there's a lot of people out there that are Christians, but I know there are a lot of them that are, you know, are struggling. You know, some of them, you know, probably are going through tough times right now. But what advice would you give them?
Yeah, just give Jesus a chance. Because many times we feel like we are trying to open up our lives for Jesus again and again in different situations and feel like it's failing or we don't hear him or see him or feel him move. It's not like that. Just give him another chance. The reason that you have breath in your lungs is full of grace because God made you to experience another day. There's a reason why you are created on this earth, and it's a very beautiful reason. And just allow him to speak to you. Allow him to cover you in his grace, in his love, in his Holy Spirit. And give him a chance to show his love, his goodness, his will in your life. Because there is nothing better than Jesus. Nothing else matters in this world than Jesus. He is the only thing that matters. And we need to run after him, not after money or kids or relationships or love. Everything is in Jesus. He is the main goal, and he is why we are created on this earth. So that would be my encouragement for you.
Yeah, don't give up on Jesus, you guys.
Yep.
I know it's tough right now. I know it's tough, but there's like it says the righteous falls seven times and he gets up. No, and he gets up seven times.
Amen.
So if you're going through that, you know, just give it all to God.
Yes.
Yep. And then I always love asking this question to everyone. Why should we believe in God?
Because you can get so lost without him. You can just try to and act like you're okay. You can try to feel like your life is complete. But whenever you're out of God's will, whenever you're out of the idea that God exists, there's always something missing. Nobody's complete without God. There is no human being on this earth who has everything that he has earned or everything that he has received that does not include God is happy. There is not a chance. God is the creator of this heaven and earth, and he created you with his own hands, and he breathed in the breath of God, and you are creating his image, you know? So why would we think that we can live this life without God? Because we will never have enough without him. We will never be happy. We will never feel complete. We will never feel loved. It's a mess without God. It's a complete mess.
Yes. You know, give God a chance. Give him a chance, and I promise you, he's going to do something in your life. And honestly, being a Christian doesn't mean everything's going to go good and good and good. But just that we have God, that's all that matters, you know?
Yes.
And so, you know, I know there are many people out there saying, you know, wow, God isn't real, but go outside. Like, go look at the sun. Go look. It's literally, you just go outside. You breathing, living. It's God's work. Like, like, I know people say, like, oh, the Big Bang boom, you know, created the earth. Well, if you know, if that happened, then the Bible has said in the beginning there was a Big Bang boom. But there is, but it doesn't say that. It says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And so, yeah, thank you for sharing that. So yeah, I'm pretty much done with all the questions that I have on the list. But is there anything else you want to add, or is there anything you know, maybe you have a question for me or something? Or anything else you want to add?
I just want to say that I listened to previous podcasts, and I know people are very blessed to be a part of this, and I am as well. So just want to bless this podcast and what you're doing, and just encourage you to keep it up. And because these are like the, you would feel like these are small things, but in God's eyes, those are big things. You never know how many people you will reach. Like me, I came from like thousands and thousands of miles away, and I'm so blessed and glad to be a part of this beautiful ministry that is starting just so fresh and already so impacted by God and just encouraged so many. So yeah, thank you for doing this, Annie.
Yeah, thank you, and thank you for being on the show. Like I said, I told God, I was like, God, I want someone that's not from Nebraska, and thousands of miles later, he sent me you. So thank you for being on the show.
Glory to God.
Yep, glory to God. And everyone who's listening to this, thank you for tuning in. Also, if you guys would please share this podcast, we're trying to reach as many as non-believers as we can, you know. And we, you know, like I've been praying to God, even if it's just one person, that's all that matters, as long as they are looking for God. Thank you for tuning in, and until the next episode.
Matthew 16:24-26 says, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything really worth more than your soul? Now really, ask yourself if there's anything worth more than your soul. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but God gives us eternal life. God wants us to repent from our sins. He wants us to turn away from our evil deeds and turn to Him. Repentance is when we confess our sins out loud and ask God to forgive us. You must believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our salvation. We must also accept God's gift of salvation through faith. Only you know how your spiritual life is with God right now. If you have walked away or even grieved the Holy Spirit, now would be the time to turn to Him. The first step is to ask God to forgive you and to truly believe and trust in God, that He will change your story. He will change your stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart.